The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all could be here to receive God's word and his gifts. Today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, so we'll get to receive the body and blood of our Savior. I don't think I have anything beforehand. Today is the third Sunday of Pentecost. We're in that Pentecost season of the church, and I really like the green to signify this season because it just shows the growth of God's word in our lives and in his church and how that growth is manifested outside. We'll be talking a little bit about that today from our gospel reading. So I think that's it. Let's begin by singing our first hymn on our first page. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word and by his authority, I therefore declare the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our reading. Our psalm for today comes from Psalm 1, and we speak responsibly, whole verse by whole verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Pentecost from Ezekiel, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly blessings, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due. For he has done in the body, for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the words to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing our hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our focus for today comes from Mark chapter 4, from the parable that Jesus spoke of automatically growing vegetables, growing fruit. I'm not much of the gardening type, so I can't really speak to how plants grow, but I'm pretty sure you all know a gardener or gardening enthusiast, and I can't help but think that they would have a difficulty with maybe a passage like this, that the seed just automatically just grows and produces fruit. Knowing certain people that like growing things, gardening, they put a lot of care and attention to making it grow properly, having the strict watering schedule, making sure the right amount of light is given, and putting all the type of effort into making something grow.
And even myself, I did try once with my own little home plant, you know, little home thing to spice up the place. And I watered it, you know, did the every other day and made sure it had enough light. But as maybe some of you experience, somehow it still just withers and dies and can't really explain it. Maybe I just didn't have the right tools or maybe the wrong plant type and how to take care of for it. But I feel like someone like that, who's a bit of a plant enthusiast, would have trouble with understanding how plants can just seeds and sprouts and grows after you just scatter it on the ground. But maybe for us it's not too hard out here in the evergreen state, where it seems like life just grows out of everything, and you get the trees that are green all year round, and the spring comes around, and maybe we take for granted some of those plants that do have better consistency of growing in this environment. And so we realize we don't need to give it that much attention or care and work towards it. The parable that Jesus speaks then in the gospel is, I think, more simple to understand on the surface for us. More than those confusing parables with the weird language and how he kind of organizes it in a way that's just difficult. For us, this one kind of comes through pretty straightforward. Especially when we think about the parable that came right before, the one with the four soils, the sower who scatters the seed along the ground, and it falls everywhere. It goes either in the road, or it goes in the rocks, or in the thorns, and then some land on the good soil. That one, if we think of that compared to this, we could see that the good soil is the one that produces that good fruit, the good seed that comes out with great good plants, while the others, the road, the seed is taken away by the birds, the rocks, the roots can't dig in, and so they're choked out, and then among the thorns, as the plants start to grow, also are choked out. And so maybe with that in mind, approaching this parable isn't too difficult. It's actually rather simple. Jesus just continues what he was saying, that with the seed going into the good soil, of course the seed is going to grow. And the man who is there, who scatters it, doesn't know how. He sleeps and goes to bed and rises, and it just comes up, and the seed is filled and full of fruit. And as the seed matures and the plant grows, then it comes the harvest, and of course you just take in what has grown. So maybe for us out here, the parables might actually be easier to understand. We can make the connections pretty quickly. Jesus is saying, like in the previous one, that the seed is the word of God. It is the word sent out and brought to the good soil. And the good soil is the reign and rule of God, God's kingdom on earth, God's kingdom of people who are in his church, in his chosen. And from that, the seed will grow from that. Much like the rain in Isaiah 55, like the rain and snow falls, the word of the Lord will not come back empty-handed. And so the seed here also just produces. The word continues to grow without much, with zero effort from the one who scattered it. There's no human assistance involved, but the word just grows on the soil, on the good earth. It's pretty easy to understand what this parable is talking about. For the kingdom of God is the word that grows on the good soil without any human help, without any assistance. What we offer, what we bring to it, is absolutely nothing. We don't do anything to it. We can't grow it ourselves. We can't take care of it or find the right schedule and cultivate it ourselves. I think the challenge with this parable for us is the way we see it actually working. Because while it might be simple for us to maybe just understand and see what Jesus is saying, this is how the kingdom of God works, this is how the word grows, it can be hard for us to actually see the reality of what Jesus speaks. And that's where the difficulty of this parable applies for us. It becomes clear because I think the danger of Jesus Christ's parable is that it's easy to act as if the parable isn't true at all. Because you know there are so many that you and I know who have not believed. They may have heard the word, they may have been in church, this very church even, but they show no signs of faith and life in Christ. Indeed, there are those who once filled our pews with joy in their heart and smiles on their faces, but now we see no evidence of that word having done its work. And maybe we resonate better with the parable from before, whether it be the work of Satan who sweeps in like the birds and removes the word, or when the trials and troubles arise because of the world and they're not rooted in deep enough, and so they can't endure and fall away, or the cares of the world and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and proves unfruitful. We might resonate more with that parable, and we might see that in reality more than what Jesus speaks here about the seed that just grows without our help, without our assistance. Because it's hard to simply accept and trust that the seed will grow, that the word would just work. And to think that we can expect that would be, well, frankly, naive and foolish. And we don't need to just look at our own church to know the number of people who identify as Christian is drastically falling down, especially where we are. And we do have those loved ones who have heard of Jesus but show no signs of believing. And in such a context like ours, it would be easy for us to question what Jesus has to say. It would be discouraging not to at least have any results or any evidence. And it makes perfect sense why many of us would grow weary and tired. And it would be natural to question whether God is really in charge of it and tempting to give up and throw in the towel of our Christian witness. And I think the other temptation is much like dealing with a houseplant that I tried to keep alive. If only I knew the type of plant better. If it's tempting to start intervening, to do the work myself and use God's word to make it sound better, to make it more effective. I mean, if I, with my houseplant, can understand these mysterious properties so that perhaps the next time I get one, I can better take care of it. I can put it in the light at a proper time, give a stricter water schedule. If I can trim the leaves and cut off what is dead, then obviously the houseplant will grow. And so why not use the same reason with the Word of God, with our own church? Why don't I just intervene and maybe see myself as only helping God's Word to work? Perhaps if we change the music, or if we react and address the events and culture as they come out, or include beverages when we walk in, or more ways to entertain, more opportunities for fun events. Maybe then God's word will work and it will influence people's lives and grow. Because frankly, what Jesus speaks in his parable is too simple. The seed can't grow on its own. We know it's true that God works through means. He works through people. He uses people to deliver his word to God's people. And so he does use good things that we can use to help benefit our lives and help to convey the message, to deliver Christ's message as a church. But just as much as it's easy to act as if this parable isn't true, it's far easier still to act as if God needs us. As if he needed me to do his work. As if he needed my brilliant personality, my charm, my ideas, to help cultivate the word in others' lives. When in reality, Jesus is telling you that he doesn't need you to assist. He doesn't need what you offer to let his word work and grow. No, the message that Jesus speaks to you is one of patience and trust. I sometimes get uncomfortably fascinated by adult converts or people who had fallen away from the church and come back after years of being away. And sometimes they come in with more zeal and fervor for the gospel message than me, which is embarrassing. Maybe too often I'm jealous because they do show that. Because for me, I've never thought of leaving or have always grown up in it, and it's always been a part of my life, and never have I questioned it to the point where going out was the right option. So what fascinates me is often the question for these adult converts and people who return, like, how? Like, what appealed to you? Why now? Why is this something that's important to you? Because I can't imagine being new, and I can't imagine leaving and coming back. But I often want to ask these people, what got you to come to church? What got you to believe and have faith? And many of them, if you know and have had your own conversations, come up with great reasons and encouragement and testimonies, like sense of community and belonging, a need to turn life around, a realization of bigger things going on. And if you hear them, you know it's encouraging and powerful to your own faith. But I think the one I found to be the most profound was so simple and so mysterious. It was a friend who'd fallen away, and he came back to the Lord after a long time. And I asked, well, why now? What made you see this as important? What made you want to be a part of this? Come back, I guess. And he was really trying to think of something. He was kind of fumbling around as he was trying to explain it. Well, I knew I should. I needed structure. My family would like it. It seemed like the right thing to do. But then he just said, after a bit of a pause, honestly, I really don't know. I guess God worked in me. I know that's nothing earth-shattering, and maybe it is a little too pious for my taste. God worked in me. But the way he fumbled around trying to give me a reason, and then the resolve in his face, and the eyes followed by the words, I don't really know. God worked in me. Encouraged and freed me in a new way. He encouraged me in knowing that God's word does work. And it freed me from thinking that I can offer more assistance in making that word work. For the promise in our text in Mark chapter 4 remains the simple message that God works as the word of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. God works as the word of Jesus is made known. And that the life of faith grows from nothing but the commands and promises of Jesus spoken by God's people. We know not how, and we do not know when, but God works according to his perfect will and his perfect timing. And as his rule and reign spreads, as his kingdom unfolds, many people will find a home that is safe and secure in Jesus Christ. much like our Ezekiel text, where the branches house the birds, and it extends out and covers a multitude, much like we as the church who receive that word and watch it grow in us. Not only benefits me, but it benefits others around me, those who are important to my life and I care for. The promise you received, that you could maybe look back and offer powerful instances and moments when God called you to be his own, how he used strong and powerful means like loved ones and friends and pastors and teachers to bring that message to you. But ultimately, we know it was God's word that worked and brought you in his safe and secure place. God's promises are the same for you as they are for others. And so, we are led by our Savior, Jesus Christ, this day to be patient and trust in what he says. That the word works. We just watch it grow. So let it grow. And how we do that doesn't need to be flashy, but just in our faithful witness wherever God has placed you. You live out God's word of truth in your life as you take special care of the responsibilities he's given you. You live as if what you received is true. Because God is working even when the world seems to suggest that it's having no effect. But you live honest and truthful lives secured in the word of promise of Jesus Christ. God has given you a special place to work. Let God's truth manifest in your lives by taking those responsibilities he's called you to with purpose, meaning, and courage. I know it may seem that what you say and what you have done has had no effect. Be patient and trust that God's word is at work. Let it grow and remain trusting that he will fulfill his purpose. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Upon hearing the word of God, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 7 of your bulletin. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our hymn, Renew Me, O Eternal Light. Please be seated.
Thank you.
our church. As you're able, please stand. O Most High, we give thanks to you that you have planted your holy word among us. Give healthy growth to your church, that she may weather the storm winds of this world steadfast in Christ, ever bearing the fruits of love and singing praises to your name. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
O Lord, the great I Am, you have the last word. We implore you for the sake of Christ to bless and defend our homes, to make the efforts of parents fruitful in the teaching of their children, and to preserve them in the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Holy Spirit plants your word and causes it to sprout and grow as it pleases you. Bless the proclamation and growth of your word in your church, that your kingdom may be extended, and give us thankful hearts to marvel at your work. Send faithful laborers into your fields to scatter your word here and abroad, that in due time a harvest may be reaped for your glory. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, ruler of all, graciously guide those in positions of authority among us. Guide them by your Spirit to be divine in purpose, wise in counsel, firm in justice, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be governed peaceably. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, watch over our brothers and sisters across the world who suffer persecution for your name's sake. May our prayers encourage them to remain faithful to you in the assurances you give in Jesus Christ. Give them strength, courage, and boldness in difficult trials. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, open our hearts to the needs of our community. Continue to shower your grace and Spirit on us as we serve our neighbor. Use our callings as opportunities to show love and manifest your kingdom. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Father, we are bold to ask for all things because you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. Hear us as we intercede in Jesus' name for those in every need, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Black, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Ella, Ava, and Esther. We also lift up in prayer our faithful friends who are unable to worship with us, especially Sandra, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza, and Jim, and Alex. Holy Father, from Israel you have taken a tender sprig, your chosen Messiah, Jesus, and planted him on the mountain for our salvation. By his death on a tree, you have reversed the curse of sin and brought life again to dry, dusty souls. Do not let us despise your Christ, his humility, or his suffering, but bring us with all your people to the shade of his eternal rest, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. For Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Continue our practice of doing communion with this side of the line first, and then we'll continue with this side.
Thank you.
Please stand. Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen.
We sing. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn on what has now been sung. Please be seated. Insert the announcements for this coming up here.